Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet. Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable. Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a pitch.
Hello, managers. Welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on the fly on Friday, March the 15th. And as always, I'm joined by my man, Andrew, who hit the big 4-0 this week. Happy birthday, Andrew.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Welcome to the club. Everything hurts.
Yeah, it does. You know what the best thing is? The thing I love about 40 is that you're exactly halfway to an acceptable age to die of natural causes. So that's a good thing.
So if something happens, I shouldn't be too shocked.
Correct. Correct.
I remember that for the statistics department.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's a depressing way to look at it, but it is a depressing time when you turn 40.
Ah, it's a wonderful time of our lives.
Indeed.
Almost as wonderful as a blank game week of probably pain that we have ahead of us.
Nice segue there. Yeah, I am expecting potentially a little bit of blank game week pain this week, but anyway, we'll get into that, won't we?
Right, hurting in all your joints and hurting on the FPL app.
That's right, hurting in my joints and my ranks.
Well, looking at how we went this past game week, so we had double. It said double game week 28 on the advertisement. You can judge whether or not how good it was of a double game week 28. But I had a good game week for once.
You had an absolute ripper of a game week.
I did. I had a good one. So 71 points for me. No hits, which was probably really good. Finished up with, had Kaminsky 4 points. It was looking really good at halftime of that Bournemouth Luton game yesterday.
Yeah, morning. I mean, we were happy with the 3 points from the first game, and then at halftime in the second game, he already had a save point and he was on a clean sheet. Like, oh man, it was looking, I was starting to get excited. I was starting to let myself dream at that point.
We dared to dream and ended up disappointed. Kaminsky, the 4 points. Doughty with the 5 points. He picked up the assist for one of the goals there yesterday. Gabriel, 1 point. Gusto, 1 point, which was a little bit disappointing. Newcastle getting that second late goal there, wiping out the points for goals conceded, which was very annoying. Palmer, 13 points. Superhero, absolute superstar. Heung-min Son, my transfer for the game week, 17 points. Most of these points coming very late in injury time. So doesn't matter how they come.
I think it was the second week in a row, wasn't it? That he got all these points in injury time.
Yeah, a goal and assist in injury time. So I thank him very much for that. So that was a really good transfer. Saka, 2 points. Unfortunately, Pascal Gross was the one here, 8 points. So I had the benching headache between Foden and Gross.
Yep.
I had Foden in my side all week. And then about 10 minutes before the deadline, for some reason, I just switched it to Pascal Gross.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know.
It never works like that. It's all, you got to remember this when everyone says, it always does badly when you change your mind last minute.
Yeah.
I don't think that's actually the case. I just think that you remember when you change it last minute, and it goes badly. So when you change last minute, and it goes well, you've got to remember that.
Yeah, so that was fantastic. I mean, it was only an assist, but as we talked about on the show, his assists are worth like a couple extra points because he always picks up the bonus. So yeah, 8 points for me, which was great. Haaland, I kept 2 points, unfortunately. Watkins, 2 points, and Captain Solanke, delivering right at the start of that second half yesterday. So the captaincy paid off. 16 points in total, considering he did sweet FA in the first game after missing the penalty, which was a bad start to the game week. But 71 points, 148K green arrow, which was fantastic. So I'm sitting at the lofty heights now of 360,000. So
there's plenty of weeks to go. It's chip season, it's moving season.
Duck so, season, yeah. Rabbit season. There's one for all the 40-year-olds out there.
Yeah, exactly right. Interesting about the triple captain result, I suppose, because, yeah. You know, after Haaland, I think Haaland got, what did he get? 10?
Did Haaland get 9 or 10 points?
I think he got 10.
Yeah, I think
so,
it was 10.
It didn't look like the Haaland triple captains were going to be the winner this season, but ultimately they were, thanks to Solanke's inability to stay on his feet.
He did a John Terry, unfortunately. So, that was a traumatic scene.
He kind of did like a Mitrovic, like one foot onto the other.
But Mitrovic kicked the ball twice.
Yeah, I thought, didn't Solanke do that and then fall over? No,
maybe he did.
Yeah. Mitrovic just went into the goal. That's what made his funnier.
Yeah, we all remember that. That was so funny.
Unless you had him.
Yeah, unless you had him like I did at that time. Now, yourself, you finished up with 53 points after you take the four-point hit into consideration. So
that's right.
This is all part of your strategy, though. Like your strategy is to play through 29. So that involved certain moves that you were making for the double game week 28.
Yeah, it did. But I still, like, I was still pretty well set up for this game week, and I was hopeful / expecting a green arrow. You know, like on FPL Optimized, it was predicting that I was going to have a green arrow, but you know, it doesn't always work out like that. And I have had a fair decent chunk of good luck over the last, you know, 8 weeks or so. So I can't complain too much when I've had a week like this. But 57 minus 4. So I have 4 points from Kaminsky. I got 6 points from Estupinan.
The pervening.
I kept the faith for one more week. But the annoying thing was, I guess it was, I was either going to play him or Porro, and so, you know, the result of getting the clean sheet actually, you know, wasn't that great because Porro got 7 points on my bench. But 1 point from Gabriel, 5 from Doughty, 2 from Saka, 2 from Foden, 13 points from Palmer, who was really the bright spot of the game week. Bowen 2, Solanke captain 16, Watkins 2, Morris 4. So pretty disappointing. Like, I couldn't believe that Morris blanked twice. I really couldn't. And he had a bullet header in the second game that Neto saved, which is an incredible save. There was another header that, you know, that could have ended up being an assist at the back post that it wasn't put away. I actually thought he played pretty well and was fairly unlucky. So I'm hoping that the Morris second chance draw in blank game week 29 yields me some points. So I end up getting 57 minus 4, 53 points. And I think that was enough for a red arrow from 100. And I think I went from 104K to 116K. So not too damaging.
Yeah, not too damaging, which is good, especially at this time of the season when there's so many strategies in play. If you're going to cop a red, you don't want it to be a massive red. So
yeah, that's right. That was
also considering you took a hit. So
yeah, I mean, I've taken, I up until this week, I had 8 green arrows in a row, and 4 of those weeks I'd taken a hit. So taking a hit does not necessarily mean you're going to get a red, but I suppose it does obviously increase your chances of it. So I took another hit this week. It did get me that red arrow. But as you said, sometimes you have these seasons where all your greens are small and then you get one red arrow and it's massive. And I'm just grateful that it didn't happen like that. It's just a small red.
Yeah, well, still in a really good spot and looking to attack. But we're going to do things slightly different on this week's episode. So what we'll do is we'll just have a quick look at the fixtures because we only have 4. This upcoming game week, of course. So we've got Burnley hosting Brentford, Luton hosting Nottingham Forest, Fulham hosting Spurs, and the Clarendon Blue Derby, West Ham up against Aston Villa, which leads into a discussion about our strategies at the moment. I'm on the free hit, so I'm busting out the chip. I still haven't actually pressed it, actually. I should probably do that before deadline tomorrow night.
Yeah, potentially. You should probably... You can't just say you're going to use your free hit all week. You should probably actually forget to do it.
Yeah, imagine that. False advertising. Do as I say, not as I do.
I mean, surely you're at the point now where you've got pretty much most of the information. You can just create a bus free hit team, and then you can have a little tweak with it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. I've basically got two. So I've basically got two versions of my free hit draft. So one, I basically called it the triple Spurs attack, and nice. One is just double Spurs attack, which leads with my triple Spurs attack at the moment. So it's a 3-5-2 formation. So
yep.
Currently, yeah, Flecken in goals. A lot of these picks are fairly like template. I will say with like me doing the yep. air quotes in the air. So Flecken in goals against Burnley only because it just on paper, maybe that looks like the best chance of a clean sheet. Now, I honestly don't think there'll be any clean sheets this game week looking at these four fixtures. So
I agree.
I'm not overthinking it a lot, but on paper, I'll go with Flecken. Reguilon in defense there. Hopefully he'll be right to play. There's, you know, Thomas Frank was saying that he should be fine. So that's really good. And Reguilon's there. Mostly he has the set pieces. He's very attacking. The amount of times you watch him and he's at the back and the front post when the balls are flying around, but if he's not at the other end of it. So I'm willing to take that risk for that fixture against Burnley. Doughty remains in my side. That home fixture against Forest, it's just a relegation 400 pointer, not even a 6-pointer at the moment. So, and after, you know, seeing what he did yesterday against Bournemouth, getting that assist, that's exactly what Doughty does. He just puts the balls in the box. He's probably one of the most attacking defenders at the moment. And
yep,
it's pretty incredible easily. That he's doing it with, in a bottom three side. So I like the numbers there. I'm going to leave him there. Currently I've got Matty Cash in defense, just something a bit different. So I know you're cringy. You're cringy. I love the Polish. You know, I love the Polish Cafu.
I know. I didn't know that you still loved him. I thought that he broke your heart.
Look, he kicks Spurs plays. He's Polish. He's an incredible golfer too. I saw him on the Ben Foster podcast once. He's like, he could probably be a professional golfer. So
yeah, he's like the Ricky Ponting of the Premier League. He's just
good at everything. That's who I've got. I mean, that's one of those positions in the side that is very much up for debate and swapping. But it's basically this side allows me for the 5-man midfield. So currently I've got Kudus from West Ham instead of Bowen. I've got Heung-min Son, who's in my side anyway, Madison, and I've got Kulusevski at the moment. So I like Kulusevski. He seems to be more reliable for the minutes. He's very involved. Ange absolutely loves him. And I'm willing to maybe take a bit of a risk there. I know that there's a lot of love for Brennan Johnson, and he's been one player I've had in and out of this template. I just worry that Johnson might be one of those 60-minute guys.
Yep.
For a potential Richarlison return or a Timo Werner. I'm not too sure. I'm not as nailed on with those minutes. I do like Brennan Johnson. I think Kulusevski, there's a potential for a massive, massive upside there if it comes off. And I've had a lot of joy with Kulusevski in the past. So I think for a 1-week punt, it's not the craziest idea. And then, Gibbs White for Forest. So I was keen on Alanga, and I was really keen to see how Awoniyi did on the weekend, and then neither started, which was a bit of a concern. So, and watching, the extended highlights, Gibbs White's involved in so much. I think everything goes through him anyway. So it's not really a stupid idea to go with that. And I can't see Luton keeping a clean sheet. I can't see anyone keeping a clean sheet, but Luton a clean sheet seems really,
I mean, they've kept one clean sheet all season.
Yeah.
I mean, it does seem unlikely, but it does happen. Like we recently had Brighton get pumped 4-0 by Roma, and then now they've kept two clean sheets in a row after that, and I don't think anyone would have expected that. So, you never know. I have you considered in this free hit, like one of the strategies that I heard this week that I quite liked the idea of was just choosing like two games or two teams that you thought were probably the most likely to get a clean sheet, and then just having two defenders from each of those two teams, and just if you do land a clean sheet, then at least you get you get double. Is that what you're doing?
Well, that's basically why I've got Reguilon and Flecken. Out of all those fixtures, I think it's maybe the most likely to get a clean sheet. Now, I still don't think Brentford will keep a clean sheet. Reguilon isn't there for you know, the 6 points. He's there for the attacking returns. He just happens to be a defender. And yeah, Flecken is Flecken. I have no confidence in any of these defenders keeping clean sheets, but
so you wouldn't want to do that with a second team and just go double on another team as well?
No, because I mean looking at the other options, like I mean Luton can't keep clean sheets. I've already got Doughty. Cool. I'm not putting Kaminsky back in there. Forrest, I can't see Forrest keeping a clean sheet at Luton because Luton have now scored, I think it's 16 or 17 games on the trot.
Yeah.
So it would be a big ask for Forrest to keep a clean sheet there. Fulham and Spurs, I'm not overly confident there. I think Fulham are predicted to have a better XG at home.
I think Spurs are out anyway because you want to have more than one attacker.
Yes.
So I think they're out anyway. The other team that I kind of like as a cheeky punt is West Ham. Just because no John McGinn and, you know, at home and Villa being a bit tired after Europe. I know West Ham are the same, but like I'm not saying I think they're going to keep a clean sheet, but I think that maybe they're the next best chance potentially, especially if Watkins may be out, which we're not sure about at this stage.
That said, but the last couple of weeks, West Ham have conceded 2 goals at home to Burnley on the weekend. And then they also, what did they do the week before?
They just beat Freiburg 5-0.
But they also conceded to Everton the week before that. So teams with very low XG.
I didn't say I thought they would keep a clean sheet. that's not what I said. But anyway, it was just a thought. It's just a thought.
Yeah.
No, I guess statistically you expect, we're not expecting, if you look at any of the teams, you're not expecting a clean sheet.
Mm.
But if you add all the percentages together, statistically there's likely to be one, if that makes sense.
Maybe.
So it's like if you pick a couple of teams and you hit one of them, then you get the double clean sheet, whereas other people that are spreading their risk probably get one.
Yeah,
that's the theory of it.
I was looking before we went to air, FPL Lens from the Net the Hall, amazing show, put out his weekly sort of, you know, crunching the data, previewing the game weeks ahead, potential matchups. And I don't think any team was over or even close to like 30% expected.
Clean sheet odds.
So,
I agree. But that's what I mean. Like if there's eight teams with a 25% chance, then statistically you expect a clean sheet. But
that said, most weeks we're lucky if we get one or maybe two clean sheets. And that's with a full set of fixtures.
That's what this season's been like. It's been horrible.
But getting to, so this side just has a front two at the moment. It's Watkins with Ivan Toney. So that is my 3-5-2 draft with triple Spurs attack. Now, my other option is a 3-4-3. Which is what I've been rocking all year anyway. Now, this one's different. So this has Pedro Porro in defense at the moment instead of Matty Cash. So sort of hedging those bets, maybe having a Spurs defender there, but basically there for the attacking return. We know what Pedro Porro does. He says it on the label. The midfield four of, Gibbs White, Kudus, Son, and Madison. And the only difference to this front line is it's adding Carlton Morris. So I still think, like I just said, Luton should score at home against Forest. And in a game that they have to win, their captain, all he needs is a penalty. I know he was unlucky in this
He was unfortunate not to score. Like if you told me that Luton were going to score 4 goals in this double game week.
And not have any involvement. It's crazy.
You would expect, like his goal involvement traditionally is close to 50% when he's on the field.
Yeah.
So you would have to not even get one goal involvement was super unlucky. And I don't think that what happened in the double game week changes, you know, what his goal involvement is going to be like moving forward. So I still do like Morris. And I think even in the one where you've only got two up top, given that Watkins is one of them, it's probably smart to have Morris first on the bench in case Watkins is not fit.
Yeah, and that's my issue. Like, I'm still keen to start Watkins. Like you mentioned about, you know, both West Ham and Villa being tired after the European fixtures. If we expect Watkins to play, which is, you know, Emery hasn't said no, but he hasn't said yes. It's a very 50-50, but that could easily change. I don't want to be running just with a front two and starting Watkins. And then, you know, the thing is, maybe he just comes on for the last 15 minutes because he's not right. And then I'm literally relying on Ivan Toney to carry that side from, you know, a striker perspective. I do like the Morris against Forest at home. So, yeah, that's basically the two differences I have. I suppose that the big thing for me is taking on Bowen. I don't see too much between Bowen, Pakatar, and Kudus. And now this morning, I think in the Europa League, I think all three scored this morning. I think Kudus maybe got a double, but...
Kudus got a double. I think Bowen got a goal and an assist.
Yeah.
And Paqueta definitely got a goal. I'm not sure whether he got any, like, assists or anything as well. Mm. But I don't know. Are you forgetting the hat-trick 2 weeks ago already? No, I will never forget that. He scored a hat-trick. He got an assist the following week. He's had one blank against Burnley, and now people are saying, look, I'm going to go for Kudus. I'm going to go for Paqueta. I don't know, man. I think Bowen is clear, and I think maybe people are trying to get a bit too fancy with it. But
it could, Bowen came off 86 minutes. Paqueta came off 62. Because that game was basically wrapped up. And yeah, Kudus 86 as well. The thing, like, Antonio played 78 minutes this morning. So it's just about whether does Antonio back up and start again on the weekend? Because that means Bowen plays out wide. But if Bowen's playing in the middle against, like you said, a Villa side with No McGinn, Douglas Luiz sort of pinned back a little bit, there might be opportunities there for Bowen. I wonder if I just maybe not take that risk, just go with the smart play on paper, because Bowen is so versatile, he's more likely to play further up the pitch.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, it's a
toss of the coin.
It is. In a single game week, you just don't know what's going to happen. So you just have to make a choice and be happy with it. And then, you know, you can't kick yourself too much if it goes the wrong way. I just think that, I don't know, has anything really changed at West Ham since Bowen's hat-trick? It probably hasn't. It's just,
not really.
If you were doing the free hit the week after that, like, you wouldn't even think about it. Mm. You know, he's a guy that scored 200 FPL points a couple of years back. He's always been their talisman.
Yeah. Classic thing of long, like, if it's a regular transfer, Bowen all day long.
Yeah.
But it's that... that wanting to take the risk because it's a free hit. It's like it's a free hit. So why not throw a bit of spice out there?
Yeah, exactly right. Well, that's what's happening. People are putting together their free hit, and many of the positions are pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And they're scouring their team for where can I make some sort of change to add a little bit of spice to this free hit.
Mm.
So I think you just got to be careful that you're adding spice in the right part of the dish. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's also, I'm all about winning my mini league at the moment. I know my mini league rival has Bowen, so and I'm pretty sure Armit will be playing his free hit as well this week, judging by his side. So I doubt he would be swapping out Bowen, but yeah, there's a potential there to go against the bet. Anyway, they're my two drafts. I'm gonna have to land on one sooner or later. I'm thinking it's going to be the 3-4-3 with Porro, just for the safety of Morris with the Watkins news, and maybe getting it's still triple Spurs, which is good. Although need is if Spurs get a clean sheet, I think Porro and Udogie are going to be so highly owned that if Johnson doesn't get a return, it's almost like a waste of time.
Yeah, so that's the other question I actually had for you when it comes to the Spurs defender. How sure are you that Porro is the best of the two Spurs defenders at the moment? Because from what I've heard, Udogie has actually been more attacking in recent times, even before Porro was injured.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be too many people that go for two defenders. So... because I think everyone wants at least two Spurs attackers. So I think people will have one or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe Porro is going to be more popular because of historically he's been the more attacking asset. So maybe that is actually an opportunity to go against the ownership and maybe get a better option that can gain you more By going Udogie over Porro.
Possibly.
That's just one thing to consider. It might be worth looking at some stats and looking at some data and seeing, you know, what the heat maps have looked like recently. And then the only other position I wanted to ask you about is there any thought in your mind about going for a different goalkeeper than Flecken, or is you're pretty locked in with Flecken?
Oh, yeah, look, I'm not locked in on Flecken at all. It's just on paper, looking at these fixtures, who's the worst team out of these? This lot, Burnley.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
That's it. I mean, if you're in my position and a goal, you know, I actually thought about Emi Martinez because I'm thought, you know, it's not out of the question Villa could do something at West Ham, but I mean, I think with that central midfield issue for Villa, it's less likely.
Yeah, I think by going for Emi Martinez, you're going for the best goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And then hoping for the performance. So I mean, it's not the worst strategy in a week where we don't think anyone's going to get a clean sheet. But I mean, it's interesting. Like I was thinking at halftime in the Luton game when Kaminski was on three saves and on a clean sheet. At that point, I was thinking Kaminski's going to be in every free hit team. And then four goals happened, and now he's going to be in zero free hit teams. It's amazing what 45 minutes of football can do.
Yeah, football comes at you fast.
It does. What's that line for the movie? Oh, life yeah, comes from at Ferris you Bueller.
Fast. Yeah,
exactly.
Bueller, Bowen.
anyone?
Anyway, that's my decision to make. But now you're in a different position where you're actually playing through. A lot of your listeners will know your transfers the last few game weeks have been angling towards this. So it's not something you've just landed on. It's something you've actually planned. So how are you looking at for the next game week? Like a hit's on the agenda?
Yeah. One hit as a minimum is on the agenda. And I can say that with confidence because I've already taken it.
There we go.
Basically, the two players that I feel like I need this week that I didn't have were Tony and Son.
Yeah.
I didn't have Tony because I took him out for Solanke last week. The plan was always to bring him back for this game week. So I've gone Solanke to Tony just before the price changes happened today because I could see that Tony was going up. And then I've done the same. I brought Son in. I actually brought Son in for Foden just before the price changes today because, again, Son was going up. So, so my team for this week, so with a minus four, I've got 10 players, but one of them is Richarlison. So I've got Kaminski home to Forest. I've got Powell away to West Ham. I've got Pedro Porro. I've got Doughty. I've got Son, Richarlison, Bowen, Tony, Watkins, and Morris.
Okay.
So I've pretty much got everyone that the free hitters have got that people are saying you need, with the exception of Madison. So this is I had a brief conversation with you earlier in the week. I feel like I've been really unfortunate with injuries because ever since I've been planning for this free hit, I've suffered a number of injuries since I've started planning for this free hit, and I expected that. Like that, of course, I can't expect to get no injuries between game week 25 and game week 29. But where the bad luck has come in is that every single one of my injuries have been players that I had been relying on for 29.
Yeah,
I haven't had a single injury for a player that's blanking. So it started with Pinnock. He got injured. I took him out, brought in Powell. Powell immediately got injured. Thankfully, he's fit again now. Porro got injured. Again, he's fit again now. Richarlison got injured. Don't think he's fit again. And now this morning, we've had that Watkins injury as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have been fairly unfortunate because during that whole period of time, I haven't had a single player that was blanking in 29 that's got injured. And it's just the way it's happened. But I guess the conversation I had with you early in the week is if Richarlison is out this week, which we probably expect him to be out, should I take an additional minus four to remove him for Madison? Because Madison is the only person that is going to be in every free hit team that you kind of people consider that you need in inverted commas this week.
Yeah,
he's the only one I don't have, so he's the only one that can really hurt me. So I guess if if Ange in his press conference tonight says that Richarlison's still no good, then I might have to take another minus four for Maddison. And I'd consider that to be worthwhile, because as you said to me earlier in the week, like in game week 30, they're home to Luton. So I'm going to want three Spurs anyway. So the hit's not just for this week. It's for game week 30 as well.
And so, you can rely on, you're not sweating on the team sheet with Maddison.
Exactly.
Like he's the exactly blue right. guy.
Yeah. But obviously I'm probably expecting that, look, as I said, you've got most of the players that you need this week. Yeah. But having said that, I've paid 4 points for it. So I'm expecting there's a chance of a red arrow, depending on how many, I guess it depends how many people that are not as well set up as me try to play through without using a free hit.
Yeah.
I'm obviously going to be ahead of them, but I'm obviously also going to be behind anyone that free hits, you know, if only by, you know, half a dozen points. I will be. So I guess we'll see whether that nets out as a green or a red arrow, but I'm fully prepared to cop a small red arrow this week. And that's all part of the master plan, because what it means is that I've got a chip to use in 34 and a chip to use in 37.
Mm.
And I hope that I'm going to gain a lot more in those weeks than I will lose in this week. So that's, I guess I'll just, if Ange Postecoglou comes out tonight and says Richarlison seems like he's recovered and he's good for at least, you know, to come off the bench, I probably won't make the transfer. I'll take the one pointer of Richarlison getting half an hour off the bench and, you know, the hope of an attacking return in that time. You know, we know how many goals Spurs tend to score in injury time anyway. So
that was my next point.
I will do that. I'll hold off the minus four and I'll keep Richarlison if it does seem like there's a chance he'll play. And I guess we just don't know. I mean, Richarlison said 2 weeks ago that he was ready to play last week and it didn't happen. So if he wasn't completely lying, you'd have to think there's some chance he's going to be good for tomorrow.
Yeah, you'd think so. Think so there. I like it. So, like you said, your side is going to be almost mirroring like mine, and I'm on the free hit. So it's just different strategies getting to the same outcome. It's just more you've got the hits that, you know, in your back pocket. So
yeah, well, what I've done is I've taken four or five hits over the last 8 weeks.
Yeah,
and I've still got green arrows, but obviously. Mm. You know, maybe taking those hits has meant I've been getting smaller green arrows than I would have. So I have sacrificed rank leading up to now. And then I've just got to hope that, you know, I make it back and more in the weeks to come. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, cool. Well, while we're at it, quick goodwill punting. I mean, we've talked black and blue in the face about these four fixtures, amazing on paper. So which amazing player have you picked out for your goodwill punting this week?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
All right, cool. I have gone for Brennan Johnson.
Love it.
I just have to look at the stats of, he is 5.8 million and only 1% owned. I think that Brennan Johnson is a good punt if you want a third Spurs mid instead of going for two Spurs midfielders and one defender. Mm-hmm. So I guess if I'm comparing Brennan Johnson to, say, Porro or Adogie, I think that's actually a really good punt. Like he played really well last week. He scored a goal and I think that he did enough to keep his place. So I think especially if Richarlison's still out, I would expect him to get another start. And I feel like he's got more goal threat, obviously, and more attacking potential than either of those two defenders. And potentially, you could even play or choose him as a punt instead of Maddison as like your second Spurs midfielder.
Yep.
Because I mean, despite Maddison scoring that goal last week, we do see him as more of an assist threat. Where I think Brennan Johnson can get assists, but he can also score. He can also score goals in that front three as well. I don't think he's the worst punt to go if you want to go a little bit different on your free hit. So that's who I've gone for.
Cool. I'm going with Frankie Muniz, good friend Q from FPL Amateurs of Oz. I think he's done the inception in my head. I just keep thinking about Frankie Muniz. So from Fulham.
Yeah.
I know his name's not Frankie. That's just what I call him. He's not the guy from Malcolm in the Middle. He is in terrific form. I think Fulham do get a goal against Spurs. So, yeah, that's who I'm going for. Now, our picks this last double game week weren't that great. You had Justin Kluivert Unfortunately, didn't feature in the second game, so finished with 2 points. I had Carlton Morris, 4 points. So we'll skip that quite conveniently. But now it's time for the FBL SideNet podcast mini league wrap up. Mahesh Sharma still leading the way, finished up with 50 points after the hit. So, and then Matthew Bye has moved up to second there. Andrew Potter has dropped down to third. Andrew, yourself, slight dip. Just by one, though.
Okay.
Yeah, so you dropped down to 16
now. Yeah. That's all right. All right. I'll plenty of time to make that back. I'm still within touching distance of the graphic, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I like John Bon Jovi, I'm keeping the faith. I had a nice juicy green, so I'm up to 37th. So moving in the right direction there. So
I'm a great week for you, Pete. I'm very happy. You were due one of these weeks. You deserve it.
And like, I didn't touch on it, but a lot of it was just, going, gross over Foden and getting the Sun pick in like probably the week before everyone else jumped on him. So I'm quite happy with that. Now, manager of the game week was James Stevens, who finished up with 95 points. They did take a 4 point hit there. So it's really 91 points. But quickly running through James' side, Areola Zabani. The Zabanya hero there, 8 points. Diogo Dalo, 6 points. Doughty, 5. Sun, 17. Foden, 2. Garnacho, 9 points. Palmer, 13. Solanke, captain, Tony. And Semenyo with the 15 points. So double Bournemouth attack. And, the cherry on top.
Oh, man. Semenyo has been fantastic. It's just a shame. As everyone said last week, it's a shame he was a forward. He would have been a lot more owned if he was a midfielder, and he would have helped people out a lot more.
100%. He's EO, if he was a midfielder, would have been absolutely insane. But good luck to everyone out there this game week. So I just hope there's not a lot of chest thumping on FPL Twitter. Like, whatever your decisions are, like you've planned it, so just go with it. And I like it.
Yeah, for sure. We did skip over Google punting though. Google punting. My captain.
Oh, captains. Okay, I'm going with Heung-min Son, Ivan Tony, and James Maddison, the Dart Man.
Nice.
What about yourself?
And I've got the same as you, except I've put Jared Bowen as my third option, which obviously you disagree with because you're not even going to have him in your team, but which I find personally offensive, but I'll try to get over it.
This is coming from the man who's going to get a Bowen hat-trick, never forget tattoo soon.
That's actually not the worst idea. I'll consider that.
You're 40 now, midlife crisis. It's all about tattoos.
I've got plenty of real estate left on the skin. So, there's definitely space for Jared Bowen.
I love it. Anything you want to wrap before we finish this one up? Nice quick one today.
Nice quick one.
I'm on the coffee, so I'm all hypo.
Yeah, same. I've been drinking it as we pod, so I've got about one sip left. No, I think that we've covered everything you need. We need to talk about today. There's not that much to cover with only four fixtures, but it is going to be interesting to see how it all works out, the dynamics of the free hitters versus the non-free hitters. And as you say, I'm sure Twitter will be nice and toxic about it after the outcome.
Oh, well, surround yourself with nice friends. That's what they say.
Well, that's safe what we space. Do, isn't it?
That's what we FPL SideNet is a safe space indeed. So,
We're in the trust tree.
We're in the trust tree. I thought this was the trust tree. Zero dickhead policy. But good luck for this game week. I'm sure we'll be chatting 100 times, especially as I pick your brain about locking in my free hit. So, good luck.
Yep, no doubt. Good luck, mate. I'm sure you're going to kill it again. Another second huge green arrow in a row for you.
Let's hope. Well, good luck to everyone out there, and let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.